This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
They did it. The new Wizards front office spiced it up. Shout out to my cousin Rico, Melissa Neal, and April Sanpei with the beautiful song and the relevant reference. But they spiced it up. They got rid of Bradley Beal. And the Wall and Beal era is finally over.
Game over.
I have mixed emotions about this. On one hand, I remember the good times. It all started when we drafted John Wall. Our team was terrible. Just suspended Gilbert Arenas and Gervaris Crittenden for an eternity of games. We're terrible. Had the number one pick. Got the exciting John Wall, the high-flying point guard from Kentucky. We were terrible until about 2013, 2014. Yeah, I started becoming a fan again in 2012. I guess because of my renewed pride in Washington, D.C., and DC sports, minus the Washington sitcom. Anyway, man, we draft Bradley Beal, and I'm like, who? I didn't watch Florida basketball. I went to Oklahoma. I only really watched Big 12 basketball for real, and maybe some stuff in the tournament. And of course, Kentucky was really good at that time. So, you know, the Anthony Davis crew and of course, John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. Basically, that little quote-unquote dynasty. I called them a dynasty, but they only won one title. That's crazy. One title in that era. But anyway, I didn't watch much Florida basketball. I knew nothing about Bradley Beal. My cousin, you know, Rico, once again, another Rico reference. He knew about him. He said he could be the next Ray Allen. I was like, that sounds good. I liked Ray Allen growing up. And he's kind of been like that. He don't shoot as well as Ray Allen, but he can score in bunches like Ray Allen in his prime. And it's been great. The John Wall-Bradley Beal combo at his best was something spectacular. Should have got to at least one conference final out of that. Going to all those playoff games when they were at their peak, John Wall and Bradley Beal was great. Should have beat Atlanta. You know, the Atlanta team that won 60 games and they didn't have a single. Well, they were pretty much all all-stars, but it was basically five role players. And they had a tremendous year and they were the number one seed. But when the Wizards were playing them, they didn't seem that much better than the Wizards. I don't know how they lost that series. They could have won that series, especially if John Wall didn't get hurt. Same thing with the Pacers. Had a great year. Paul George was coming into his own. Got David West and the best Roy Hibbert you were going to get. And Danny Granger. That was a good team. But they were overrated. The Wizards could have beat them. The Boston series was the peak. Because that, more than the Hawks and the Pacers series, that was the series for sure they should have won. I know they got down 3-2 and needed a game-winning shot to force Game 7, but they were right there in that series. They could have easily won that series. If they knew how to win in Boston, if they won one game in Boston, they would have won that series. And I think they would have been a bigger challenge to LeBron's Cavs, especially that year, when LeBron's Cavs were kind of weak. Like, they weren't as strong as they were before. So, we could have got them. But from that point forward, from 2017, 2018, it all went downhill since. Injuries. John Wall, major injuries. Then John Wall got traded. Then Bradley Beal ascended and had a year. I think it was 2019 or 2021, where he averaged 30 a game and was third team all NBA. When he got that contract after being third team all NBA, I was like, yeah, he deserves it. He's been grinding for us. He's been our second best player. He's been our best player lately. I thought he was trending upward, but then he just went back down and came back down to normal because of injuries and inconsistent play and the team around him, maybe even coaching. And now we're at the point where we're sitting here, we got new management, we just didn't make the playoffs, and he's about to get $250 million. $50 million a year. And he's not getting any younger. And the production, while it's good, it's not worthy of being a top five player in the league. I love him. He was great. It's just the contract was going to cause problems in the future. And the kicker is the no trade clause. Who negotiated the no trade clause? Did Brad ask for that? Did his agent ask for that? Or did the old regime just throw that in there to make sure he stayed a Wizard? I don't know what happened, but the no trade clause caused problems because that might be the reason why he's in Phoenix and not Miami. Like, I hope the reported Miami deal wasn't the real deal because I'm gonna lose it. I heard that, or I saw on Twitter that Miami was offering Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, maybe a first round pick or two. I'm like, that's perfect. We'll take it. I mean, come on. Compared to the Phoenix deal, I know that Chris Paul and Landry Shamet have better contracts and are arguably better players than Kyle Lowry and Duncan Robinson. But still, it put our team in a better position. You know, we get two key pieces to at least be somewhat competitive this year. But I know this year ain't about being competitive. It's about being for the building for the future. But I guess the good thing about having Chris Paul and Landry Shamet, they're easier to move and flip, especially Chris Paul. Because I think his last 2 years under contract is non-guaranteed. One year is partially guaranteed and the other one is non-guaranteed. So you just get rid of him. This is interesting. I don't think Chris Paul is going to be a Wizard. He's just not. I think there's already reports of trying to send him to the Lakers or the Clippers. I think he's gone. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet because they got the Bradley Beal trade done so fast. I mean, Bradley Beal in the front office agreed to look for a trade partner last week, and he's already gone. So I'm like, wait, why can't we find a partner for Chris Paul? Why hasn't it happened yet? Oh, and we also gave away Jordan Goodwin, who's our best G League player outside of Johnny Davis. Well, and the center who is like defensive player of the year. But okay, he moved up the quickest out of all our G League players. He's gone. He was ascending. Wanted to keep him, but in the grand scheme of things, I don't know if he was going to fit on this future squad. And then we got rid of Isaiah Todd, who, I mean, high hopes, but he was, I mean, I guess he was good in the G League, but he was never a real, how do I say this? He was never, I don't know, a solid NBA player. He was never a solid piece for our NBA team. A solid piece or an important piece for our G League team, but in the NBA, you know, he played a little bit at the end of the season when, I don't know, we start trying to tank and all our rotational players just stop playing. But before then, he was on the Capital City Go-Go. So I don't know what he's going to do in Phoenix, but Phoenix, one of them. Okay, cool. You can have Jordan Goodwin. I would have loved to keep, but it is what it is. It's business. Landry Shamet and Corey Kispert. Boy, that's a nice shooting combo, boy. Even if it's just for 1 year, that's going to be fun to watch. I don't know how many games we're going to win, but seeing these guys every now and then, you know, put up 5-6 threes a piece and shoot somebody out the gym, that'd be great to watch. But, you know, it's all about the rebuild. It's time for a new era. The Wall and Beal era is over, and I had high hopes for it. It should have resulted in at least a conference finals appearance. Instead, injuries, disappointment, and hurt feelings, and now a new front office. Let's see, because the Wizards haven't won a title since 1978. We haven't got to a conference final since 1978. The Wall and Beal era was better than the Arenas era, and that was a good era. It was definitely better than the late 80s and all of the 90s and the Jordan era in the early 2000s. So now let's see what happens. The Suns, on the Suns' end, it definitely makes them better. I don't know how it makes them better defensively, but I wonder how it's going to work. You're paying three guys $50 million, and you're paying DeAndre Ayton a lot of money. That's another thing. How do we not get DeAndre Ayton? How do we not get DeAndre Ayton in this deal? I think, honestly, the only reason we don't got him is either the front office didn't really see him being a part of our future plans and didn't want to pay him whatever he was getting paid in Phoenix, or the Suns value him enough to not include him in this deal. Either way, he ain't a Wizard, and it would have been great to have him. Oh, well, it's okay. We weren't going to really win with him anyway, but I would have loved to have him. He's young and still has potential. It is what it is, though. It is what it is. Also, I still don't think they're going to beat Denver. I still don't really know if they're going to beat the Kings or the Warriors or even the Lakers. But we'll see. This definitely makes them better. Definitely gives them more firepower on offense. In the short term, they're definitely going to be way better than the Wizards. In the long term, bruh, them pick swaps, I hope them pick swaps are valid in 2028, 2029, because I think in 2028, 2029, they're going to be terrible. Maybe even as early as 2027. This is a short-term thing. It's not going to last. And they better capitalize on the small championship window now, because after this, it's over. And the Wizards, with their rebuild squad, is going to be way better. So let's see. The second round picks the Wizards got, I mean, that's a joke. How are we going to use that? What are we going to do with that? How are we going to get jiggy with this? How many times do you find an Isaiah Thomas, the non-Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas, Nikola Jokic, or Draymond Green, how many times do you find that in the second round? I'll wait. Exactly. It doesn't happen often. So second round picks are underwhelming. But they gave us extra second round picks. Whatever we plan to do with that, I don't know, man. Wait. Maybe we can use one of these extra second round picks to get Zach Edey next year. Oh, that would be interesting. That would sell some tickets. But I'm telling you right now, if he don't get better, it's not going to matter. He's going to be on the Capital City Go-Go, and he's going to sell tickets for them. I'm just wishful thinking. That's the only second-round pick I'll potentially care about if they make it within the next 2 years with all the extra ones given by the Suns. Anyway, man, the Wizards, I mean, it's time for a new era. It's time to close the book on one era and let's go to another one. I'm excited. Let's see what happens. It is what it is. Okay, part two about Kalen Bullock being mocked to the Eagles next year. Now, the draft, which is going to be in Detroit, debating about going, I don't know. I'm interested, but we'll see. It's going to be in Detroit next year, and Kalen Bullock is mocked to the Eagles at 31. Who knows where the Eagles are going to be? Who knows what other first-round pick they're going to finesse, because our front office has been on fire since 2020. But say they do stay at 31 and they do get Kalen Bullock. From what I've seen, he's the fourth rated safety and there's three other safeties going in the first round. Wow. So this must be a really good safety draft. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. Actually, it might be a good thing for us because I don't know how long the Eagles are going to keep Terrell Edmonds. I don't know how good Terrell Edmonds is. On paper, it seems like he's a slight downgrade from CeeDee Deuce, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. It seemed like he's a downgrade. But anyway, we might need a safety next year. And Kalen Bullock, the problem with him is his national perception is awful. Because the only thing we know about him is him just getting manhandled by Dalton Kincaid, who is now with the Bills, just got destroyed. And he's part of another Lincoln Riley, Alex Grinch defensive creation that, you know, to give up a lot of points, and it's just a lot of frustration on the big stage. Couldn't stop Utah in either game. Is it all Kalen's fault? Nah. But he didn't look good, especially in the championship. He was getting cooked. He got embarrassed. However, he's coming back next year, and all the scouts and evaluators back this guy. They love him. He's rejected to go in the first round. He's an All-American. Yeah, I said it. He's All-American. He's first team All-Big 12. Not all Big 12, but all Pac-12. He has all the accolades. He's, a freshman All-American last year. So he's going to get better. And looking at the highlight tapes, you know, he's 6'3", 180. So he looks like a receiver playing safety. So that's kind of a concern that he's kind of small. And that's probably why he was getting shrugged off by Dalton Kincaid, because you saw how built that he is. So maybe he'll struggle against those bigger tight ends trying to cover them. But, you know, he has a nose for the ball and he had 5 interceptions last year. That's more than the 3 safeties ahead of him in the draft. He makes plays. He makes plays, big hits. I can see why he is liked so much by people who study football. You know? And he's young, so he has a chance to get better. And also, let's see what he does with NFL coaching and not freaking Lincoln Riley, USC defense type of coaching. So if he's cooking with this defense, imagine what he can do with the Bird. But that's just, I'm just spitballing. I'm just brainstorming. I'm just wondering, you know, what can happen if we get this kid. We'll see. I mean, he's a fourth rated safety. We could still get, I don't know, better safeties ahead of him, like Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama or another Georgia kid. I forgot the kid's name. It's on here. That's another guy we could get. Javon Bullard. Another Georgia guy. Don't be surprised if the Eagles get him. Andrew Mbuka from Clemson. Like, we'll see. Odds are one of these guys is going to drop. And I don't know. Everyone is going to say Kalen because of what he did against Utah. But we'll see. I mean, the stats back him up. I mean, the stats and the accolades back him up. Like, he's been nice. He's just on a suspect defense. But, you know, we'll see. If he does end up being a bird, then I hope we coach him up and he does well, because the bird is the word. And a defense is getting older and we're going to need to rotate some younger pieces in there and usher in the new generation that's going to be a new dynasty. I'm telling you right now, the sitcom is in trouble. The Giants are in trouble. The Cowgirls are in trouble. Best believe that. Because our front office is on one.
Facts.
I'm just saying. Now let's get to the Mystics. The Mystics are back on track. Spank the Phoenix Mercury, who didn't have Brittany Griner or Diana Taurasi. Would have been a closer game if they had those two. But hey, you know, you got to get the wins how you can. Sophie Cunningham couldn't be a superwoman and try to will them to that victory. It just wasn't going to happen. Too much firepower from the Mystics. We're starting Lee Mung. However, Brittany Sykes left the game early. Shakira Austin got hurt. And I'm just like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Trials and tribulations. But it was a blowout. Lee Mung got her minutes. She didn't do bad. She still pretty much scored her usual 5-6 points. But I'm proud of her. She's gone from last person on the bench to she's a big part of this rotation. And she started. Oh, here's why she started. Natasha Cloud didn't play. So that's why she started. Still, she's getting minutes. She's doing well. Even Amanda Zooey B, or is it Zowie B or Zooey B? I don't know. I like her. That's all I know. I'm going to go with Zowie B. That's what our announcers say. I'm going to go with that. So anyway, she played a little bit more. She did okay. That was a nice game. A game I could have went to. Brittany Griner was in attendance at least. Now, she ain't play, but she was in attendance. So, you know, she got her hugs from our players and got her standing ovation from the fans. You know, that was cool. She comes back to D.C., you know. She comes back to D.C. in August. I don't know if I'm going to be there or not. We'll see. Hopefully the tickets aren't mad expensive. Like, she's not messy. I know that, I mean, Messi to Miami is official. Miami does come to D.C. July 8th. However, Messi won't be on the team. He won't be on the team until July 21st. I think, though, he's supposed to be in the All-Star game on July 18th, which is here. But I ain't going to be able to go. I heard tickets are at least $300. So I'm not, no. I'm not doing that. I'm probably going to take people to the game driving for Lyft. So, we'll see. Anyway, man, back on track. Like the Mystics, they are back on track. They're 7-4. I think they're fifth. I think they're fifth in the WNBA. They're back on track, and I'm happy, you know, because I was worried for a second. Got blown out by Indiana and was looking kind of mid. But punish the Mercury like you're supposed to without two of their veterans. And no Skylar Diggins. I think she's on maternity leave. You're supposed to punish them. The Sky did a little bit better against them this time. At home, defended home. I love it. And now, I don't know who we got next, but I do plan to be at the Fever game on July 7th. Because that's the rematch. I'm telling you. Speaking of WNBA. That Seattle Storm, Dallas Wings game, fireworks. But of course, Seattle won on the road. Seattle's been playing well lately. They couldn't overcome the Sun in the second half. They were doing good. They were winning that game at halftime. And Jrue Lloyd had 22. Jrue Lloyd leads the league in scoring. So, of course, she had 38 against the Dallas Wings. And Arike Ogunbowale put on a show and had 41. Those two played together at Notre Dame. That's crazy. Two of them at the same time, a young Arike and a veteran Jrue Lloyd. Bruh. I'm sure that was unreal. But seriously, though, like, these guys are the present and the future of the WNBA. They are going to be, I think WNBA All-Star voting is happening. They definitely got to be in it. Those two, Satu Sabali, Elena Deladon, for sure. I don't know. Take your pick from the Vegas Aces, Jackie Young, my girl Asia, Kelsey Plum, and then also Sabrina Ionescu. Definitely Breonna Stewart. Like, those guys for sure. Napricia Collier is pretty good. Neka Agumake. Man, I done damn near called out the whole All-Star game. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Hopefully, I can watch it. It's around the same time as the MLS All-Star game. I don't know where the WNBA All-Star game is. They need to come back here. Because I did go one time, and it was fun. It was fun. I barely remember it. Because I was young, but it was fun. Also, we played a Fever like mid-July, and it's Kids Day, and it's going to be at Capital One Arena. Now, it is kind of annoying, all those kids screaming and messing around and barely paying attention to the game. However, it's in the middle of the day, it's Capital One Arena. How could I not? You know, I can make a day of it. You know, I can go to one of my favorite restaurants downtown, or I could go to the art museum or something, man. Or I could finally go to the archives museum, like something like that. That's going to be fun. But the Mystics back on track and I love it. Hopefully they can keep it up and hopefully we can stay healthy in the meantime. Now the Nats. Oh my God, the Nats. The Nats are slumping now. They didn't lost five straight. For whatever reason, we still can't beat the Marlins. We only beat them twice last year, and we lost to them on 4th of July in front of my friend Zach. So that sucked. And then we're 0-6 against them already. I wish they were the 4th of July matchup again, but instead we got the Red Hot Reds. Who, now we've lost 5 in a row. They've won 7 in a row. Yet still, I plan on going to the game that Monday before 4th of July so I can see the fireworks. Because I don't plan to watch any fireworks on 4th of July. I don't care. And then, of course, do my annual tradition of going to the 4th of July game, Nats and Reds. And then I'll probably do Lyft right after that. And I'll make sure I get in the house before the traffic gets unbelievable. I think. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not 100% on that. But that's what I plan to do. But the Nats are loafing. Yeah, I still miss going to the games. I probably won't go to another game till 4th of July. I mean, July 3rd. I probably won't go to another game till July 3rd. It'll probably be here before you know it. It's almost like 2 weeks away. It'll be here before you know it. But we got to get it together. But then again, no, actually we don't. Because honestly, I told y'all this is about development. Them losing just gives me a sense of awareness, a sense of mindfulness. That's the word. It's just, you got to realize we're not meant to win many games. The fact that we've won 27 already is a blessing. I am thankful that I could even go to the park and watch Nationals baseball, even though they're not supposed to be good. You know, just going to the park, seeing all these hot college girls, having a chance to win the 50-50 raffle, being in the ballpark, seeing some baseball, you know, just being out in usually good weather, you know, nice view from my 400 seats, stuff like that. It's the little things this season. It's not about winning a World Series. It's not about winning a pennant. I kind of realize that. Am I going to get hype when they win? Yeah. Yeah. Now, thankfully, they did bounce back after getting robbed against the Astros that one game. They came back. They beat the Astros by 3. The next game, in similar fashion, they had a really good 9th inning, and that's all they needed. Haven't won since then. Swept by the Marlins. Lost twice to the Cardinals. They're supposed to play the Cardinals today. That's a rainout. It's raining. I already see it. It's not going to let up. It doesn't look like it's going to let up. And that's a wrap for that series. So I guess we'll play them eventually. Let me see what the Nationals are talking about when it comes to playing this game. Because maybe I can go to the makeup whenever it is. I don't know when they're going to make it up. Hey, yo, on the Nationals page, the first thing you see is single game tickets, $13. Oh, my God. I'm going to tell you where they're going to put you. They're going to put you in the 200 section. It ain't bad, but it's like pretty much the foul pole in right field. That's where they're going to put you. It's okay. I mean, it gets you in. It's cheap. But I'd rather go in the 400 if I'm going to go cheap. Because you're on the third base side and you get to see more of the field. And it's a better view. I'm just saying. So I don't see anything about this game today. I don't care. We'd already dropped 2 to the Cardinals on a 5-game losing streak. I don't even know what to say. However, the future is bright. Because Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore, who we got in the trades for Scherzer and Turner and Soto, they lead the team in all the major categories in pitching. They got the lowest ERA. They got the most strikeouts. And also, we got a kid coming in named Paul Skeens, who they say is the best pitching prospect since Steven Strasburg. And if you remember Steven Strasburg, he was really good for the Nats for a decade until injuries took its toll. Once again, like the Wall and Bill era, it reached its peak and then it came crashing down. He hasn't really played since 2019. He basically was the MVP of that playoffs. So much so, he was almost our opening day starter in 2020. But, you know, injuries, all of them injuries. Paul Skeens is the best prospect since him. And he was a really good prospect. And you saw how that turned out. Turned out well. I'm talking about multiple pennants and a World Series title. Can he bring us that? I'm just saying, that might be the final infinity stone to our next really good pitching rotation. I'm talking about him, Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore, and Kay Cavalli, who's a Sooner. Long story short, it's over. It's a wrap. Especially if they get any type of bats in the lineup. I mean, we're developing James Wood. We're developing Robert Hassel. Like, these guys we got in the San Diego trade. Like, I love it. It's coming together, and we're not done. There's no telling who we're going to get next year. I mean, well, yeah. There's no telling who we're going to get next year. You know we're going to get this year. That's Paul Skeens. And Paul Skeens, 6'6". I think he's like 236. Throws 100 miles an hour fastball. I sat there and watched him versus Tennessee, right? This guy, I'm telling you, like 10, 15 straight pitches, straight gas, 99, 100 every time. And that joint was moving. It was moving like a snake. Boy, y'all in trouble, boy. Y'all in trouble. And he was just punching people out. He had 12 strikeouts. Bruh, this guy, y'all not messing with. This guy is big and powerful. And he's young. He gonna be developed. Wait till he develop a changeup. Wait till he develop a curveball. Y'all are done. It's over. We have found our future ace. Corbin will be gone soon. And every 5 days, you got to deal with this man. If we could just keep him healthy, I know he has a lot of mileage. He's thrown a lot of pitches and he throws really hard. You're going to figure it out. You're going to keep this guy healthy and y'all going to be in trouble. I'm telling you, man, the Mets don't know what hit them. They getting old, they're mid, and now they have to deal with this tiger coming out of college. Now, if they somehow get Dylan Cruz, I'll take that too. He could be the next Bryce Harper. Okay, maybe not. But but him, James Wood, and Robert Hassel, oh God. We'll still be fine. We'll get another pitcher off free agency. The future is bright with one of those two, and they both play on the same team. However, they're one loss away from losing in the College World Series. I don't know what they're doing, but the future is bright. We're probably getting Paul Skenes. It's a wrap.
Game over.
Boy, I can't wait. The future is now. I see the Nationals rebuild is taking place. I see it building before my eyes. The Wizards, I mean, we're just at step one. We're just at step one. I got to see how that materializes. Hopefully, you know, they get Matas Buzilas, who's another really big-time prospect. We'll see. But the Nats, I'm looking towards the future at this point. But yet, I'm still going to enjoy going to the ballpark. And I might go to the Rangers game as well later that week. We'll see. I got tickets to the Dodgers game the week after Labor Day, but it's on a Friday and I probably got a ref. But I plan to go see at least one of these games. Well, I doubt it. It probably is going to have to be a Saturday. I might not have time for the Dodgers series, but we'll see. Go Nats, regardless. Anyway, what we got next? The Washington Spirit. The Washington Spirit on top of the table. That's fire. I love it. Tara McGone. I think that's how you say it. Late in the midnight hour. Came through for us. Perfectly onside. It looked like she was offsides, like that Kansas City's current player when they scored that first goal. I'm going to get to that very soon. But when the cross happened, she was on. When it was in the air, she was on. And then once it got to her, she was right there in perfect position. Looked like she was off, but she was on. I think I'm starting to finally understand on and off sides. I love it. I was scared for a second, though. We was down 2-0. But then I looked at the highlights. I was like, we were down 2-0 because of some nonsense. Of course, it got to be nonsense where you're down 2-0 against the league's worst team, the Kansas City Current. I mean, come on. They got an early goal. Their forward was chilling in front of our goalkeeper, and I don't know, she had an easy shot into the goal. And I'm like, how did she get free? You know what? It was kind of tipped. It was tipped by one of our defenders. It was just luck. It looked like she was all size. I guess she wasn't. She looked all size to me, but I just say it was luck. And then the handball by Hatchie in the box. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That's just, I mean, they had a few other close calls as far as handballs in the box. But that one, I was like, oh Lord, that's like the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus type of, you know, nonsense. Like, you just can't believe it. It really happened. But, you know how soccer is. They don't play about handballs, even if it's accidental. Your hand or any part of that hand or that arm touch that ball, you getting penalized. And that's what happened. And, of course, hey, shout out to Kingsbury, though, our goalkeeper and our captain. She was right there when it came to the penalty shot. She was right there. She had a beat on it. It's just that, I forgot her name. They kept saying it. I forgot her name. But she got that corner just perfectly. And there's nothing you could do. She just got it right beyond those fingertips, man. And they got us. They're up 2-0. There were a few other close calls, but once again, we battled back. Ashley J-Lo Sanchez scored another goal. And then, of course, we scored yet another goal on the set piece because tall and lanky Mateer, I forgot her freaking first name, but she's tall and lanky. And, of course, she rolls up, got space, and boom, goal. I love her. She be putting in work in them set pieces, and I love it. And of course, Tara McGone, game winner. Perfect position. I'm glad our defenders are good at crossing and passing in those situations because they be setting our people up in the middle of the pitch really well. And that's what makes for all these set pieces goals and all these goals off crosses. I love it. Great job. I was scared for a second. I was prepared to be disappointed in them again. I was going to be really mad if they lost. Well, maybe not really mad, but really disappointed if they would have lost that game, especially if they lost by any more than one goal against the Kansas City Current. But they fought back, they battled back, and I'm proud of them. I plan to go to the game on July 1st. I got the program right here. It looks like they're playing against the Orlando Pride, and that's definitely a game I want to go to because I think we lost them. So I definitely want to go to that game. So, yeah. Oh, one more thing about the Wizards. They got us picking Cason Wallace. Now, he's from Kentucky. If he come from Kentucky, they have a really good track record with guards. Oh, my God. Where do I start? Okay, obviously, John Wall, who was one of the best Wizards players ever. De'Aaron Fox. Malik Monk. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. One of the Teague brothers, Devin Booker. But I mean, come on, it's endless. Ty Washington. Like, I mean, he's just getting started, but these Kentucky Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was just first team All NBA. So they know what they're doing over there. So if we get Cason Wallace, I'll take it. I will take it. I want Grady Dick, but I don't know. I mean, he's just going to be another Wizards role player that might be on the go-go most of the year. We'll see. The draft is tomorrow, and I will be in the house watching it. I'm not going to do Flip Cup or hang out with my folks at Volo, even though they're cool. I'm going to have fun playing kickball, but then I'm going home to watch the draft. I am not playing. I'm just saying. Anyway, man. Okay. Real quick about Ja Morant and Bob Huggins. Ja Morant suspended 25 games. I think that's fair. I think it's right on the money because the only reason is because he did it again. They told him not to flash guns on IG Live because it's a bad image for not only himself, but the Memphis Grizzlies and the NBA. And he did it again. So you got to make sure it's a stiffer punishment so he don't do it again. So it was 8 games last time. This time it's 25. And the main thing is he's ineligible for any all-NBA teams because of the new CBA. And, you know, maybe the All-Star game? He might still get voted in. But any all-NBA teams, he can't win MVP. That's less money out of his pocket. And, oh, without pay. Without pay. So he loses game checks. And he loses bonuses. This is definitely enough of a punishment and should drive the point home. I'm just saying. This should be enough to drive the point home. I mean, it's nothing wrong with him owning a gun. It's just that the way he's presenting it, that's it, you know? At first, when the thing first came out, I thought it was a little much because I was like, he ain't hurt anybody. He's just being a goofball. But, I mean, I get it. I get it, you know? It's all about image. It's all about him being a face of the league. That's it. But the Players Association is going to fight it because there's little precedent for this. And people have got suspended less for doing more than what he did. I get that part of it, too. But I think the suspension is right on the money. It don't need to be any more. If you think it should be more, you bugging. If you think it should get scot-free, I mean, maybe I disagree with that too, because I mean, he apologized, went to therapy and anything and everything, and then the same thing happened. So, yeah, wishing the best. He's a really good player. Hope he comes back. Hopefully they put the Grizzlies on Christmas and they have them playing against the Lakers. That would be a dream matchup for me. You have to have it. Ja Morant should be back by then. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get them eyes on basketball on Christmas. Let's get as much eyes as possible. Hey, Aubrey Kingsbury made the women's nationals team. Oh, yeah, let's go. Like I said, she's our goalkeeper for the Washington Spirit. Ooh, Ashley Sanchez, too. Andy Sullivan. Hey, that's two more. Two more. Oh, Trinity Rodman. So we got 4 people on the women's national team for the World Cup. Oh, we about to cook. It's over. They got my girls. It's a wrap. Ashley J-Lo Sanchez. Love her. Anyway, now on to Bob Huggins, I'm going to end with this. DUI. 2.1, thought he was in Columbus and he was in Pittsburgh. What in the world? Now, I've been to Columbus several times. I've only been to Pittsburgh once, but I've driven past Pittsburgh and you know, the surrounding area to get to Cleveland or Columbus a few times. Listen, it's not that close, okay? But he was wilding. It's just not a good look for the university and him as a role model for his players. I guess they had to do what they had to do. It's crazy. Like, after what he said about the Xavier program, I know, I get it. He was a Cincinnati coach and it's a big rivalry in the city, but he went too far. And, you know, he had a big punishment for that. So, yeah. Big punishment for that. He had to lose $1 million off his salary, and it was a year-to-year contract. That's a big punishment for what he said. And then the DUI, and it was a bad one. Thankfully, no one got hurt, including Bob Huggins. But he got fired. Well, no, he didn't. He resigned. I don't know what they were going to do. I don't know if they were going to fire him or, you know, they were going to make him go to rehab and basically suspend him for most, if not all, of the season. I think that's what they could have did, and that would have been cool, especially after reading his daughter's remarks. It's like, it seems like he meant a lot to a lot of people, especially in that community. And it looked like he was definitely trying to change some things at West Virginia. But what he did is inexcusable, and his daughter knows it. Do I wish he would have stayed? Yeah. But suspend him for a year, make him go to rehab, I think that would have been fine. And I think his daughter would have been cool with that too, and his family, and the rest of his family. But you know there's consequences to your actions. I know he's really sorry about what happened. It's just unfortunate. Whatever he's going through, I hope he gets through it. I pray that he gets through it. And just another example how you shouldn't drive drunk. Just saying. I'm just saying. And, oh, and his daughter said he was going to recycle the cans, the beer cans, and he has a heart of gold. Yeah, I'm sure he does, but he made a big mistake, and he has to pay the consequences. Probably shouldn't have resigned, but if that's what he feels is best for the program, because it's not about just him, it's about the program as a whole, it's about the university as a whole. If that's the best thing, for him, then it's just, that's what we got to do. Period. Wow. Oh, they talking about Stephon Diggs on the herd. It's crazy. It's crazy you go from that little freshman from Good Counsel that's running back kicks to he has the Bills by the balls because he doesn't like his role in the play calling. Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. But he worked hard to get to that point. And I just admire that. I just admire that. He got so good that he's calling the shots now. That's crazy, man. I still wish I would have knocked him out in that playoff game my senior year when he cheap shot at my receiver. But that's neither here nor there, you know. That's just something I'm going to have to go to the grave with because I'm not putting on the pads no more. It definitely not in the NFL. So we're just going to have, I'm just going to have to take that to the grave. Anyway, Mr. Rampew, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. I'm about to go to Subway. You already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.